Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Big night here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're fresh on the heels of the Killer Bees and Joel and Jeremy. Great stuff by them, as always. And we thank you for tuning in here tonight. Boy, do we have a lot to get after tonight. And certainly one of the things we're going to talk about is the new Dynamo investor, Tim Howard. And the former U.S. Men's National Team goalkeeper will be on this show tonight. Interview taped earlier here today. But interesting stuff here to consider. And Tim Howard addressing the media today, along with the Dynamo owner, Ted Siegel. So he will be on tonight. It's a 20-minute interview. And I say this respectfully. Unlike the press conference, there's some real questions here that go a little bit deeper. And that's not a slight on anybody. It's to introduce him. It's general. It's very upbeat. It's positive. For me, at this point in my career, I want to get answers because I want to see where we're going with the Dynamo. And it's all intents and purposes, it's taken a little long to get there. But if you're independent media, you got to remember, you're not a PR firm. Help the growth of the game. Challenge. Tim Howard can handle anything you can throw at him. Trust me. He's played at Manchester United. He's played at Everton. He's been under pressure. He can handle it. But unless we ask real questions from the outside here in the media, we're not helping the growth of the game, and we're not helping the Dynamo, frankly. To help the Dynamo is to ask real relevant questions, hold them fairly to the fire, and ask for people to speak and be transparent. We've had a lot of that with Pat Onstad. We've had a lot of that with Ben Olsen. And I think also Dynamo fans are looking for a focal point. I've said this for years. The club hasn't had a face of the franchise. Is that going to be Tim Howard? Past minority owners, Oscar De La Hoya, James Harden, they haven't done anything. Let's be honest. I mean, when we got fed that James Harden was going to sit in meetings through prior ownership and huge soccer fan, and he's got amazing ideas and all this, come on, who's buying that? Be honest with us. Now you got a soccer guy. And you got Tim Howard. And we've been looking for a football connection, I think, in the front office. And that's not taking shots at anybody in the front office. Don't get upset. This is a front office that needs football connection. That's easy to see from the outside. That's not anything that is meant to be negative. And if that gets people upset, then you're in the wrong job. 713-780-3776. Excited about Tim Howard coming. Dynamo fans, where are you? 713-780-3776. Dynamo already on their way to San Jose tomorrow night. You heard the Eric Svechenko interview last night. And then it's on to Vancouver. Now, the Vancouver game marks the possibility of playing Ezequiel Ponce. You know my feelings on it. I would not play him on artificial surface in Vancouver. I wouldn't even risk it. There's no need to, but I'm not the coach. On the other hand, Sebas Ferreira is putting up a fight, scores the lone goal. Let's recap Sebas's goal The tying goal against Minnesota. Remember, Eric Svechenko flicked this on after the great corner from Hector Herrera.
Sebas Ferreira bicycle kick ignited the dynamo here. Brought him back to life. Herrera swerves it in. It's a chance for Ferreira. He's tied it. Well, the man who brought him back with a missed bicycle kick. Sebas Ferreira has tied it.
4-4 and 7 in your last 15, though. You know what I would prefer? Instead of 7 draws, I'd rather lose more games and get a couple of wins there and have 9 points off of 3 wins in those 7 draws. I'd rather lose games. Draws are terrible in MLS. They don't give you anything. I mean, if you get 3 wins out of those 7 draws, you got 9 points. Right? So you got another 2 points than you have now. I probably want 4 wins out of those 7. 713-780-3776 tonight. Tim Howard. It's exciting to see Tim Howard coming to the Houston Dynamo, and I think a lot of people are definitely very, very excited about the connection now that he will have for the club. He made it very clear he wants to be here long term. So we're going to break this down tonight about how this is, you know, how much of this is simply about him being Tim Howard, how much of this is really digging down deep, how much clout he's going to have with the front office. These are questions I asked him, and he has answered beautifully. And it was a fun interview. It was a good interview. It's one you walk away from saying, okay, this is good stuff for your fan base. I'm not just parroting a bunch of things. I'm asking Tim real questions. And I said before the interview started, I said, Tim, I'm going to ask you real stuff because it's been a long time down here. And you got to do the homework on the context of where this club has been. And yes, we had a good season last year. And we're hoping for another good one. 2 road games, San Jose and Vancouver. And then we get into Leagues Cup. It's Atlas and RSL. Here's Ben Olsen on facing Minnesota and the challenges of the 1-1 draw recently.
Overall, it was a good performance, but not a great performance. And we needed a great performance to break down more often a team that was really committed on the defensive end and made it very difficult for us. So tempo had to be higher. I think our overall urgency could have been increased from the get-go. We could have put them in more difficult situations. We took too much time in between moments to allow them to get set. And that's the challenge against the team that is in a 5-4-1. Still, you get 22 shots out of that. You get enough really good looks there down the stretch. Last 8-9 games, we still only lost 1. So we're still hard to beat. And more times than not, we're putting points on the board. So that's a good thing. Are we putting the points that the performances deserved? Not all the time. So that's our challenge.
I'd rather go for it more, lose a couple more games, but win more of these draws. And that's easy for me to say, and I'm not overstepping the bounds on the coach, but it's just something from the outside. Because 7 points out of 7 games, I mean, 7 points out of 21, that's leaving a lot of points on the table. And the home record is not good. So I want to just kind of be the balance here for that. I do agree with Ben where he said tempo and urgency, not enough. And calling that game, the tempo was the same, too much. It's got to change. I think there were moments in transition where you had Minnesota United committed higher up the field that at some point you got to add to your game a real threat in transition, and it just can't be Aliyu, and maybe that's why the Dynamo are going after Lawrence and Ali, another winger type, but will he be on the field at the same time? I don't know. That's for the brain trust and the collaborators. But you got to get more in transition. One, from an excitement factor, and two, from the standpoint of, yeah, you got to punish teams if they come forward or if they're captively forward on a corner and you got a chance to break out. So what if you lose the ball taking 2 people on? I think that was really missing in that game. I think Ben drilled down on it for sure. Okay, so we'll do more Dynamo and talk about them heading into the next game. A couple of things here. Mauricio Pochettino has been linked to the U.S. now. Steve Cherundolo of LAFC has been linked to the U.S. 713-780-3776. Give us your thoughts on the U.S. men's national team coaching position. What type of coach you want to see get the job. You've heard my take on it. I want a big personality. Now, Pochettino has also been linked to England, right? Which makes a lot of sense with his time at Spurs. Graham Potter has been linked to the England job, which Gareth Southgate has now vacated. Southgate has been proposed by all of us in speculation out here in speculation land. So there you go. Now, as far as Mexico is concerned, we heard Bosco Aguirre mentioned a lot. Guillermo, you got an update on that, right?
Yeah, so basically they gave Jaime, you know, two options. They said either you step down, you continue the program, you become like a assistant coach and we bring in a bigger personality like Javier Aguirre, or we bring in a big personality to be your assistant coach. And he ended up rejecting both propositions, and then he just flat out quit the entire program. And now it's looking like Vasco Aguirre is going to be picking up the Mexico squad before the World Cup once again.
No kidding. So you think he's going to take the squad?
It hasn't been confirmed, but it's everything is aiming towards him to be the one.
But here's the thing. When you know you're already in the World Cup, you don't have to go through the qualification process. I mean, it's kind of like a champagne job, right? I mean, no question it's pressure with Mexico. No question in your own way relative to the context of the game and the national team right now in the U.S., it's pressure as well. But, you know, you don't have the whole qualification thing. Both these coaches will probably retire when they're done, whoever they are that's hired. Okay. So, because I thought that was a bit up and down. I thought at one point there, Aguirre, you know, that was more a rumor and that he wasn't going to take it. What has he said exactly? He said he will take it?
Like I said, nothing has been confirmed, but okay. Yeah, it's just looking like it.
All right, keep that in mind. Nothing has been confirmed. So what I'm going to do is in the next segment, we got more to go in this one, but in the next segment, I'm going to pick apart the press conference and things that were said in the press conference. And then we got Tim's interview right after that. So we'll have a lot of Tim Howard, a lot of Tim Howard. Now, Lionel Messi has apparently got a ligament injury. You saw, you know, how swollen his ankle was. 713-780-3776. Now remember, Inter Miami's coming here the beginning of August for Leagues Cup to take on Tigres. So there's no telling if Messi, maybe a long shot that he's even available. Yet, this may be all about Tigres in Houston. Incredible. Gignac coming in, Brunetta coming in, Quiñones, and Cordova, the two wingers that give him width and inverted play. The team has got an excellent back four. Reyes and Pizarro, the two center backs. You got Angulo and Aquino who get forward. And guess who's the coach of Tigres? Velko Panovich. By the way, Tigres may be the most supported team in Houston, Texas. I say that in that's not as a joke. I say that in reality, that both them and Rayados are hugely followed here, and people go back across the border to watch their games. To the phone lines we go, and I believe this, well, there's one good Victor in Houston I know. This may be him. Let's go to Victor right now. Victor, welcome to the show. Is this Deportes Total?
Deportes Nation.
Deportes Nation. Jeez. They would have fired me on the spot. And, you know, Deportes Nation. So everybody knows Victor has covered the Dynamo for years and a lot of soccer down in Houston. And he's even doing, I think he did the XFL and other things. All right. So what's your take on Tim Howard? I see that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I was just calling in to get my 2 cents. Look, I try to be positive and optimistic about signings like this, moves like this. Obviously, you know, we know the kind of player Tim was in his career, but, you know, we're talking about the Houston Dynamo and their and the Dash too, right? The footprint they have in the soccer community here. You know, it's still years and years of, you know, looking to people outside of the city for answers, right? And how to grow the game and how to, you know, solve some of these problems of relevancy. And I see the same thing here now with Tim Howard. Again, we're going out of town, bringing in an investor that's probably not going to be here day to day. Again, has ties to the game, which automatically probably makes him more qualified than a lot of people there. But to be honest, I mean, what are his ties to Houston? And, you know, again, I think that's kind of where they're missing the mark.
I think it's a fair point. I think you're aware I did an interview with him. That question's asked. Like questions like how often are we going to see you in Houston? With all due respect, the fan base is looking for a real leader. That's more than just appearing at games and signing shirts. And yes, that's important. The presence of a personality and a great ex-player like Tim Howard. By the way, I always think of that Belgium game. It was unbelievable. But I've watched this guy grow up in Major League Soccer and then go on to this amazing career. But he's going to need a real fast track to understand about Houston as well as a market. Now, he has run Memphis, so he's got experience there. Name, connection, Manchester United, Everton, wealth of knowledge and experience as a player, does that translate to Houston? And I think that's maybe the question you're asking, Victor, and I think that's a really fair question. So a lot of those questions he'll answer in the interview. It was a great interview by Tim. I was very gracious to him, but also asked real questions. What else you want to add to it?
No, I feel like he's going against the current a little bit. I mean, he's got to be something special for him to be the one guy to change everything.
Yeah.
Turn things around here as far as, again, being a bit more local, having more local voices in there. I tell you this, maybe because a lot of people don't know, I'm born and bred in Houston. You know, and I see this team and talking about they represent Houston, and I don't see them shining the light on Houstonians. And I don't even see them – look, Tim Howard's great, but he's going to be on the field. I don't see them shining the light on the players, right? Where's, again, the focus here on some of these guys that score the goals? They're supposed to be playing as a soccer representative of Houston, you know, for all the – and listen, I got nothing against DJ Screw or none of the rap, but, for talking hard and rap and that kind of attitude, they don't even show that on the field. So, again, focus would be nice if it was on soccer, and that's, I guess,
what the sure I'm into that as the marketing campaign primary. I don't think it's worked. I think it works for some. I don't agree with you that they haven't fought on the field. I think they have. I think they've flatlined a little bit here in July. Victor, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. That's some good stuff there from Victor Ariza. Deportes Nation. I got it right that time. I do want to mention something. And Victor was a part of this, I think. Rocked the mic many, many years ago. So Samantha here at the station gave me information about Rock the Mic. This is a way to make your podcast grow or even start a podcast. You submit entry videos to rockthemic975@gmail.com. Videos have to be 3 to 5 minutes long. Talk about any sports take you want. Submit the videos by August 2nd. And then, so there you go. So if you want an opportunity to grow a podcast, Rock the Mic. And go to rockthemic975@gmail.com. All right. And I do know producer Guillermo is going to be in on this. We'll take a break here. Quick reminder, Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. That's the best for soccer watching. And then also get over to danishinspirations.com, the best in modern contemporary furniture. DanishInspirations.com. Okay, we come back, and I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of the Tim Howard press conference next.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Guillermo, could you bring me a pillow and a blanket, please? This is making me very...
It's supposed to be chill, Glenn.
Yeah, well, this is not chill. We're an hour of hard... It's like Ozzy Osbourne when they put bubbles on the stage. I'm the king of darkness. Okay, no, it's good. I usually like your more upbeat ones, but this is nice if I wanted to chill, but I don't.
Noted.
All right. No, it's all fun. We're just having fun with it. Guillermo's come up with some great lines. That leads me right. I mean, some great break music, which leads me into Cactus. By the way, Cactus, power on. Get over to Cactus Music. Power up AC/DC. Cactus is back in action. Tremendous vinyl. Also, was down at the 24th anniversary of the Continental Club, and our great friend from Sig's Lagoon. Down there, all the people that were a big, big, big part of the Continental Club over 24 years were there. Tomas, who owns Sig's Lagoon, was singing with his band. He was awesome. So that was good stuff. Okay, real quick here. You know, the other thing about Tim Howard before we get into the interview is certainly he can help competitively with player signings and stuff. So that's another thing to think about. All right, let's go to the phone lines, though. A gentleman that was at the press conference. I watched it. I was not there. Here is Juan. Juan, what do you have to say about the press conference?
Hello, Glenn. I hope you're doing well right now.
Thank you.
I just thought that Tim Howard signing for us, I mean, as a minority investor or partner, was a home run. Not only for what he can bring to the players, to the front office, like you said, but also just for the World Cup push in 2026. I can imagine that he'll be a voice for people that want to see Houston shine in the World Cup, because it's a melting pot of a lot of different cultures. And during the press conference, his demeanor, he sounded excited to be part of this group. He said he was friends with Ted Siegel, and you could tell that those two have a really special bond. And I really, really hope that over the next coming years, he shows up to some games in Houston. I'm also away from Houston. He reps the brand, and then when 2026 comes around, he'll be a major, major part of what the club is trying to build. Know, trying to get a mix of these cultures together to go to the stadium.
I think these are all really good points, but they're not guaranteed. Everything we heard in the press conference, we've heard before. And I'm with you. Love Tim's enthusiasm. Love what he represents, what he represented for the national team. I'm not so worried about the World Cup. I'm more worried about the Dynamo turning the corner. And the Dynamo Stadium being filled, and the Dynamo being more relevant.
I do think those things go hand in hand.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. You go, Juan. Because I want you to have a shot here.
I think those things go hand in hand, honestly, the World Cup and Houston Dynamo's popularity. I feel like
Let me stop you right there. Has all the international content gone hand in hand and done anything to build the Dynamo base? No. So, look,
yeah, you're right.
It is a World Cup. But, listen, I'm all for this. I'm excited about it. We need a face. How much Tim is going to be here, that's what I'll ask him in the next interview. How we can do this from afar, I'm going to ask him. But we all know it's getting out into the community, mano a mano, that's going to turn this thing around. It's not going to be one personality. He's going to need help. He's going to need guidance about Houston. This is a footballing town. He recognizes that. He recognizes the opportunity. He used the word supercharge it. There's a lot of good things going on, but you just can't say, it's not our job to say that it's okay. It's all done and dusted. It's going to work. No, it's the job of the media. Are you in the media, Juan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what's your outlet? Give it a prop.
Foxtrot TV.
Soccer Shot TV?
Yeah, Foxtrot TV.
Okay. Good. And I'm glad you're covering the game. But it's also our responsibility not to just jump in on the love train, OJ's style, but to also ask the real relevant questions. Like when somebody says, well, we're going to turn this around. Well, how are we going to do that? So for me, it's a little different because I've been around it a long time. I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. I mean, who's not going to be excited with our other minority owners? I don't even know if De La Hoya still owns a piece of the team in James Harden. But, you know, we were fed, James is going to. Now, Tim is a soccer man. He's got incredible history. So I have to think Tim is going to bring it. But how much can he actually do and how much will he do? That's the big question. The man is a busy man. He admits it in my interview. So I don't think he's going to be at Bear Creek Park every other day shaking hands.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. And honestly, I'm with you on it really depends on what he does from now on. I mean, honestly, for me, it was a positive first impression.
100%. I'm not denying that, yeah. But I'm done with first impressions. I knew Tim Howard would be a great impression. Tim Howard's an incredibly intelligent guy. He's personable. He's got a piece of the action with the Houston Dynamo. The valuation of the club will continue to go up with the World Cup. If it's a $700 million valuation, and let's say Tim bought 1%, he put $7 million in. If he put in 0.25%, take 0.25 of $7 million, okay? What I like is that he's here. Will he challenge a front office? Will he challenge people's ideas? Could he change a marketing scheme? Can he help make this team more relevant, even though he's not going to be here a lot? He was a part of building a club in Memphis from the ground up. How do we get into these communities and groups that don't want to come to Dynamo games? I 100% think that he's going to be able to 100% use his contacts and maybe help secure players, although I think most of the Dynamo fans, I think, are pretty happy with what Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelsohn, and Ben are doing, especially if the striker hits when he comes. So, you know, listen, I'm really glad you called in. Relationship building, I heard, connectivity, let's get up to speed with everyone in the club. Then I heard, you know, our ideas are similar. Yeah, but we need new ideas, because the ideas now from building this into a bigger club, regardless of where the product is, it needs some freshness, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I can't wait to hear your interview. I'm pretty excited for it. And, you know, I still have my questions as to the direction of the club takes. Now, obviously, Tim Howard is great, but we still really haven't seen him do anything. He said it himself. He's only been here for 12 hours or something. So, again, I'm excited, but I'm also cautiously optimistic, because sometimes we do know what happens with these clubs. You know, a lot of promises and a whole lot of action. So.
I like that one. And you know what? I like a young guy like you, because I can tell you're young, covering the game. Keep it up. Keep it up. And I appreciate you calling in tonight. Very good insight, and thanks for making the effort to call into the show. Excellent stuff.
Thank you.
All right, so that's one. I wish I remembered what was the name of his outlet, Guillermo? I wanted to promote it.
Like Soccer Shot?
Yeah. Good. I like that. Great stuff from Juan to call in. But, you know, I think a lot is to be seen, right? And I think once you hear the interview coming up, it'll give you a little bit more of a flavor of kind of where I was going. I am not negative on this at all. I'm positive on this. We need the face, but if a face isn't here, it's not easy, right? If Tim Howard said, I'm moving to Houston, I got an office, and I'm going to be there every day. Now, that would have gotten me excited, okay? That would have got me more excited, because you've heard how long I've been preaching that we need a football face in this club. And it can't be the coach generally. It can't be the GM. They got too much responsibility. Needs to be somebody else, and it has to be somebody that's respected by a very hard-to-earn respect soccer community, a person that can talk it. And to Victor's point, the missing element still. Now, remember, Tim's putting money into the club, but the missing element is still the high-powered Houston soccer connections. That's something that we don't have. And if we leave the devices to people that aren't from Houston, I mean, to be fair to them, it's not easy for them. By the way, Eric Quill, New Mexico United, got to the, what did they get to? The quarters. Lost to LAFC, 3-1 out there. But Eric Quill is another local from our community, doing great stuff. Didn't get to play the Jesse Marsh bite on working with the Canadian Federation. Boy, he let U.S. soccer have it, man. I mean, that was a volley of two quick jabs and a left hook. He's like, I don't care. I don't ever have to coach this team unless it changes, the U.S. soccer. And he was very hard on Kama Ball as well. Okay, this is a band called Red Rider. It's a pretty cool song. All right, coming up next, legendary U.S. goalkeeper Tim Howard. He's now an investor owner of the Houston Dynamo.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we've been munching on Little Patagonia's empanadas and cafe. Best empanadas. By the way, the traditional Argentine sandwich, the choripan, is coming to Houston. It's already at Q2 Stadium in Austin with Austin FC. And tomorrow I'll be on ESPN Radio in Austin, courtesy of Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. They've also got a new restaurant up in Austin on Guadalupe near the University of Texas campus. So a big thank you to Little Patagonia Empanadas. I saw Julian today over at the Houston location. It is my pre-radio stop. All right, here's the interview with the new Dynamo investor, Tim Howard.
Well, Tim, first off, I guess the first thing, how did this come about with Ted Siegel? Mm-hmm. And I guess the second part of the question is, why Houston?
Kind of one and the same. So Ted and I met through some business associates and connected about Houston directly. And we actually have some funny childhood ties. He and I are from the same town, same high school. We didn't run in the same packs back then, but we had an opportunity to connect. And, you know, he shared with me this vision and plan and all the things that he was hoping to do with the Dash and Dynamo and in the city of Houston. And like, truth be told, since I've finished playing, I've talked to a bunch of groups that are either current owners or looking to get into ownership in the MLS, in the Premier League, in League One in France, and so many in between. And I advised and I counseled and I talked to them, and, you know, with the view that we're having a good chat about soccer, but there might be something there in terms of a partnership in the ownership group. And nothing ever really came to fruition, not because they weren't good people. They all were. It didn't for one reason or another. And then I talked to Ted, and I honestly jumped out of my seat. I was excited about the opportunity to help grow these organizations, both teams within the organization, the vision for football in Houston. Look, I also had the cheat sheet too, right? So Ted talked to me about his plans and his visions for the club, but I also played with probably two or three, maybe four national team players who were dear friends of mine who think the sun rises and sets with the Houston organization and the city. So I was like, oh, I know great things about this, about these clubs. And then obviously on the women's side, you know, probably three or four women that I've known to go through Houston and raved about it and talked about how much of a sleeping giant it was. So I was already kind of like, oh, there's some synergy here. And then I fell in love with the idea. And so that was, you know, maybe 8 months ago. And then we've had conversations since.
Tim Howard, former U.S. men's national team coach. You can see him on, goalkeeper. By the way, one day we're going to do an interview just about your career and your upbringing, because I think from New Jersey, that would be a great thing to do. As we go on here, and for somebody who might be a little skeptical out there and go, okay, Tim Howard's coming, Manchester United, NBC, all these amazing things. How do you say to them that this is more than just PR?
Mm. Well, there are skeptics out there. I've dealt with skepticism my whole career, and rightfully so. I think today, and I mentioned this earlier, today is a monumental day, a wonderful day for myself and hopefully for the city of Houston, but you know, there's miles to go. And I, the best way to put it is I don't have a lot of time to do a lot of things. I'm an incredibly busy person by design and by nature. And one thing I'm certain of with my relationships in the business world is I'm either all in or I'm not. And I don't have time to like kind of hang out and just put my name to things for the sake of it. Right. And so that's also part of, you know, you asked the question earlier, why Ted Siegel and why Houston? Because the timing was right. I was ready to put all of my energies into being a part of an organization and help build that. And it's a long-term thing for me. It's you know, not, there's nothing short term about it. Yeah, of course, I think even, you know, and I wouldn't dare compare anybody to David Beckham, certainly not myself. But when you look at what he's been able to do in Miami and draw attention to it, yeah, there's some surface level things going on, right, with the name and the glitz and the glamour. But there's some real football IQ there. There's some real experience, and I hope that, yeah, that it's great. I mean, I think being able to create the narrative and bring some more eyeballs and to Houston, both Dash and Dynamo, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And we're going to try and leverage that. But ultimately, my experience in the game and trying to be lend that to the players, the staff at HQ, the ownership group, certainly the fans, and bridging that gap and creating those relationships or continuing to sustain those relationships. You know, I'm all in. And like I said, I always say at the beginning, you don't have to trust what I say. That's, I'll always back that up with actions and words and being present and consistent. So I've got no issue with that. You know, skepticism, I think, is good. I think people should be.
Yeah, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but we've had celebrity owners before, and people have sold us on, oh, okay, he's going to be sitting in meetings, and there's no way he's sitting in meetings. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but that's what people think out there also. So how often will you be in Houston? Mm-hmm. And how much do you have to be here in order to really make a dent in this? Listen, people are going to want to come see you. They're going to want to get your autograph. They're going to want to get a Howard jersey. I get that. But beyond that, how often will you be in Houston? And will you be out in the community? I mean, will you be out at parks? Will you touch people's hands in places other than the stadium?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think when it comes to how often I'll be in Houston, it's going to be a lot in a short amount of time, and then maybe not for a while. It just, you know, it's all going to be schedule dependent. I think the great thing about this partnership for me is when you look at the Dash and the Dynamo, they play all over the country, and I'm all over the country, right? And so being able to activate my role as an owner in other markets, you know, and being able to see the team and connect with the backroom staff, even if it's on the road, there's going to be a lot of me to go around, and in terms of meetings and calls, and that's a place
You are a busy man. I've watched your career. It's pretty impressive. I thought there was two of you for a while there. It is impressive. But let me see. Is this, you are going to be more working with the competitive side, the Pat and the Ashers, as opposed to the front office?
I'm going to be advising counseling the ownership group. And I think that's the starting point. Will I be on the phone with Pat and Asher when they want me to be, when they need me to be? Yeah. I'm coming at this as an ally for everyone, to try and help make the club better. And if that needs a ton of fixing, I'll do a ton of heavy lifting. If it needs some fluffing, I'll do that too. Like, there's just when it comes to being in the community, I'm such a proponent for cultivating a fan base and a culture. A club can't be sustainable without that. I helped build, and I was a big part of building that club in Memphis. And I understand, you know, I know that it's a USL level, but I understand the connectivity and culture it takes. I was an Evertonian. I still am for a lifetime. And I spent 10 amazing years playing in front of the best fans in the world. And I understand that they're the lifeblood of a club. Players come and go, owners come and go. The fans are the ones that are always the most important, and they have to be looked after. And I think this ownership group has done a great job of that.
How does that translate, though? Playing at Manchester United and Everton to Houston, you see the content that comes through here. You saw what happened in the Copa America with the crowds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I heard you mention in the press conference about the international fan. You grew up in New Jersey. You know the ethnic connection to the game. How do you get that authentic fan to buy into the MLS product? Because I've always said the bar here in Houston has to be sellouts every game. There's soccer fans from every corner of the globe here.
Yeah. Look, Houston's problem is America's problem. And it's been that way. It's been that way since I played for the Metro Stars. And anytime a big game came through Giant Stadium, it was sold out. And then here I am, a 22-year-old playing in front of 500 people. I get it. I've lived that. I've lived that for the last 25 years more than anybody. that's the exciting part for me. I talked about it in the press conference. That's not even a 1A on my agenda. It's one. I think that you know, if we can crack that code in Houston, we've done what most people seem to be impossible. There are football fans in our community of Houston. And how do you do it? I think you create a safe space for people and create loyalty. And you have to, I think when it gets down to football fans in your community, I think you have to give to them first. I don't think you can say, hey, we got this great product, come watch it. I think you have to get out in the community. You have to ask them and talk to them about what's important to them, what they need on a game day experience, what they need from us. That's the starting point, not the other way around. It can't be. And so,
isn't that what the organization's doing? And with the knowledge that you're not going to be here and be able to do that, how are you going to do that? That's the question.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. Whether I'm here every single day, I don't think matters. I think I'm here and available every single day, and I'm part of all of the conversations. And when I can be and need to be, of course, I think that, like I said, getting into the community for me and finding out, like there's a, it's complex, of course, but there's a simplicity to finding out, going to the local clubs and the pubs and the restaurants, and you all are soccer fans. You're not getting something. What is it you need to feel that you want to support this group? And there'll be very direct answers, right? And you start to get those answers, and you try and start to formulate a plan, and how can you reach those communities who are football fanatical? So I'm there. Like I said, I don't have the answer today. It's something that I've, long before I was a part of Houston, I was having these conversations over cocktails and coffee with friends who are knowledgeable about the game and understand the American soccer landscape. And these are not even debates. We're coming from the same side of the same argument, and we're trying to figure out how do we get this. But I'm currently doing that with friends of mine who operate and deal with Gotham FC. I mean, we're all dealing with the same problem, and it's something that is solvable, and we'll get there.
Tim Howard joining us, new owner, along with Ted Siegel of the Houston Dynamo. Everybody excited that there is a football man coming here with this reputation and this background. And I'm thinking, when I'm looking at you, Tim, I'm thinking of the Belgium game right now in the World Cup. That was still, to me, one of the most remarkable goalkeeping performances ever by a U.S. goalkeeper. How many saves was it that day again?
Thank you. I think it was 16. They're trying to take one off me, but if anyone asks me, I'm going to say 16.
Like a true goalkeeper, you want that extra one, though. That's always the way it works. You talked about the bridge of the fans. I mean, does that mean getting out in the community and basically mano a mano touching their hands?
Mm-hmm. I think it does. I think that part is important, right? Because if you take a snapshot of what this community is, you can get a picture of what the larger city of Houston wants. Yeah, so I do. I think that's sitting with the supporters in the stands and drinking beers, as opposed to being up in the president's box, which I'll be doing both. I think that there's a side of that it's getting out into the local community, certainly into the, you know, into the youth soccer landscape, into like I said, pubs and restaurants, jobs, you know, finding out what backgrounds want, what people want from that experience. And so to me, I think that's important. Yeah, I do. I think it's sitting down with, and look, it's a collective, right? You can't go out and speak to 20,000 people. That'd be an impossibility, but you can talk to important people within those communities, leaders within those communities, to find out exactly how you can service them. And so to me, yes, it is about doing that.
Is that something you'll do, is identify the key leaders in the youth soccer community, the adult community, and trying to bend their ears?
Yeah, that's part of that's
or
part
let
of
them bend your ear.
No, both. I mean, like I said, yeah. I think part of the boots on the ground operation for me is to hear all sides of what's important and what is working, and drive that forward, and what isn't, and making that change. And that's where Ted Siegel has been incredibly receptive. You know, he listens, and I think that's a big thing. But for me, it is about, and I learned this post playing career. Someone asked me about what's the biggest thing I've learned in regards to ownership, and it's relationship building. You don't have to do that when you're a player. You just go on the field and perform, and then the chips will fall where they will. But I think when you build an organization and you're trying to continue to better that organization, you have to build relationships across the organization, throughout the community. Like it's one, it's a singular thing. These fans don't support the team for 90 minutes on a Saturday. That this is their lifestyle, and so you have to tap into that.
Tim Howard joining us, new Dynamo owner investor, just announced earlier today. This is a pre-taped interview in the afternoon. Tim thankfully went back to his hotel to get on Zoom to do this because I'm not capable of doing an interview off the phone. I always love seeing like DeMarcus Beasley go back in his community working with the team, like what you did in Memphis. It's great. And I always remembered at the early times of MLS, I'm like, you know, when these guys all get through their careers, any of them are intelligent guys and they're going to handle the big positions and they're going to be people with a soccer background in these positions.
Yeah.
Memphis, just tell me about what's the most important thing you learned while running that club down there.
Yeah. Look, I think when you talk about even what DeMarcus has been doing and players of my generation who are in a position to make change and help run organizations, it's tough sledding. It's tough sledding. There's no easy answers. There's no easy solutions. This is sports. Sports will bring you the highest joys and it'll break your heart. I mean, look, in Memphis, I think the great thing for me as a learning tool was, you know, in the USL, you wear a lot of hats, you know, particularly when you're starting an organization from the ground up. And that's the key answer to your question. We started an organization from the ground up, so we had nothing. And so when you say, like, you had nothing, you had nothing. Didn't have a name, didn't have colors, didn't know what people wanted. And so we had to, as an ownership group, go into the community, knock on doors, go into the local supporters pub, and which wasn't our supporters pub, by the way. It was a U.S. Men's National Team Arsenal supporters pub, and go in and say, hey, if there's a team in Memphis, what does that look like for you? What draws your attention? What do you enjoy? What would we do to keep you coming back? And so that was a huge starting point. I think that part I learned was important. I also learned that culture within a team is important. Being able to have people understand that you have no divine right to win a football match, right? That there's going to be some highs and lows, but what brings you to work every day? What continues to drive you? And that's the North Star has to be the crest and the club and everything about that. And culture is huge because players get injured, they get traded, they get drafted. A multitude of things happen. Things are going well and then your coach gets fired, whatever. There has to be a broader cause to a team. And I think we learned that particularly in the USL, which for a long time was a mercenary league, right? You're getting guys on 1-year contracts and who's the highest bidder. And so you're constantly having to you can't retain a ton of these players. So you're having to create a culture and a why, like why would you come to Memphis next season? And I think I learned that was incredibly important. I knew that was important as a player, but that's also on the inside. That's on the inside of a dressing room surrounded by 22 other guys and you figure it out and with tough conversations, but on the broader scale on the outside, I think driving that culture home and creating something that's sustainable is huge.
Tim, can you go toe-to-toe with people in a front office about the vision of the club, the relevancy? You know, will you ask hard questions of people that are in the front office? And I say this respectfully, honestly.
Of course, yeah, and I think it's definitely respectful. I'm very comfortable having difficult conversations, you know, and I think I say that not to be a rebel rouser, but I say that to, you know, if everybody's pulling in the right direction, then there's no issues having difficult conversations. That's something that I feel like I've always done. I've prided myself on. And if look, having difficult conversations is the second step. The first step is building relationships. And once you do that, it's the same as on the field. You know, we're on the field hooting and hollering at each other. That's my brother. He loves me. I understand that. Now, he didn't say something really nice to me, but he was trying to get it. He was trying to get a reaction, and he was trying to drive the team forward. And there's no difference. So building those relationships and then having hard conversations, to me, go hand in hand.
Yeah, because I think, Tim, what the people are thriving for is not a fictitious, you know, great ex-player, goalkeeper, yeah, celebrity, guy who's on the Premier League. They want to see a guy that comes in and does push the envelope with difficult questions and sure. these types of conversations so that we can make this team more relevant in a, in an amazing soccer community. So I think people are bleeding out for that and that type yeah. of a leadership from a real person who's had mm-hmm. tremendous experience in the game at a variety of levels. And again, this is not being disrespectful to the front office, but people in the front office don't have your background.
No, that's right. And I come into this eyes wide open. I'm completely aware that, the greater community, the fans want to see substance. I wouldn't have gotten into this if it was just for fanfare. I'll continue to say that. I can lend my name to anything under the sun when it comes to soccer. That's not an issue for me. So, I was excited about the prospect of helping drive an organization forward, like you said, on many levels. The proof will be in the pudding. We'll see. But there will be hard conversations. There'll be great conversations, great ones behind the scenes to try and, as you said, we're ultimately. At the end of the day, we're in this to win. you don't get into sports for any other reason than to win and to be entertained. And by the way, we get entertained by winning. So I understand how that works.
I think that's music to the fan base's ears and my listeners as well. Tim Howard joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. One or two more quick questions. Why did you ultimately leave the USL in Memphis where, you made some good inroads down there?
We did. Yeah, we did. But again, this was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. And the exact conversation we're having, I gave a hell of a lot to Memphis. And I did it lovingly and joyfully. And there was some great times. But again, if I, taking on this endeavor would not have allowed for me to give the time to Memphis that it needs in those roles. And so ultimately I had to step back from that in order to take on this incredible challenge. But, I'm very proud. You can imagine anytime you are part of an organization, a sports organization, you hope to leave a legacy and you hope to do something you're proud of. And I mentioned to you before, a blank sheet of paper is what we started with, quite literally, and an idea. And the fact that we're able to build a perennial playoff contender, have some top players and top coaches come through our organization. It's a feather in our cap.
Well, Tim, listen, we really, really thank you a lot for making the effort to come on here. I know he went back to his hotel to do the Zoom interview. So that is incredibly commendable. Everybody is happy to hear from you. Excited that you're here. Now, are you and I getting on the plane to go get Jurgen Klopp now? Is that the plan here for the end of the day?
I would do it. I've already said I'd be happy to go to Spain. But yeah, we'll see.
Were you
we'll see
serious when you said that?
I mean, technically, yeah. I could sit in front of Jurgen
Klopp. You know him. You know him well.
I can make a very compelling argument to Jurgen Klopp. By his pool in Mallorca. I'm certain I can and could, but so whether I was whether I was serious or not, or whether it would actually happen, two different things. But I'm always there to serve.
Thank you so much again, Tim, for coming on tonight. My listeners really appreciate it, and so do I.
Thanks. Look forward to seeing you again.
All right, that's the legendary Tim Howard. Okay, that does it for Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to everybody who tuned in here tonight. You can get the podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, or right here, ESPN975.com. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We appreciate their great support. LamontBrands.com for T-shirts and hats. Really inexpensive, all to benefit the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. And when you want to watch soccer, head over to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, and the Marquee Entertainment Center. Okay, until Thursday night, all right, two nights from tonight, Thursday night, remember, soccer matters.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.